Now I want to pick up some additional topics on regression. Some of these are on the AP and some of them are not, and I'll point out which as we go along. The first topic is nonlinear regression, and that is part of the AP curriculum. Not all relationships are linear. I said that if you look at a scatter plot of data, you should check to see whether the points seem to trace out a line or whether they trace out a curve. And often you can tell using a scatter plot that the relationship is not going to be linear. If the scatter plot shows a curve, then it's not a good idea to rely on a straight line. It's particularly a line will be particularly bad as a prediction device for a nonlinear relationship. But for any purpose, it's not a good idea to take something that's data that's obviously nonlinear and represent it using a straight line. Okay, one way to find a nonlinear relationship is to use a plot of the residuals. I think I'm going to discuss that a bit later. But just briefly, a plot of the residuals on the y-axis, instead of putting the actual value of y, you put the residual. That is the difference between y and the fitted line. You have to be kind of a pretty experienced, actually, to be able to interpret residual plots. I'm not a big fan of throwing residual plots at kind of first-year statistics students and saying, here, figure out what's going on, because it's a little bit non-intuitive, but we'll discuss it some and we'll do some problems with it. The residuals are going to average zero by construction. That is just the way you the formula for minimizing the sum of squared residuals will force the average residual to be zero. That is, you move the intercept up and down to make sure that the average is zero. So because of that, the residual plot, a natural thing to do is to draw a horizontal line at zero and then look at how the points fall relative to that. Obviously, some of them will be above and some will be below. And the pattern to watch out for is that a bunch of residuals all tending to be above the line for a while, then below the line, then above the line again, or the opposite. So if all the residuals on the far left and the far right have the same sign and the residuals in the middle have the opposite sign, then this indicates a nonlinear relationship. And it says that linear regression was not the right choice. So you should go back and try to fit a more nonlinear relationship. So again, that pattern that you would worry about is seeing positive residuals on the far right and the far left, and then there have to be negative residuals in the middle, or the opposite, negative residuals on the far right and the far left, and positive residuals in the middle. There are many functional forms for nonlinear regression, but in this course, the only two that we're going to talk about are power regression and exponential regression. Exponential regression is regression that estimates y equals ab to the x, and power regression does y equals ax to the b. What will these functions look like? It might be a good idea to plug in some values for a and b and just plot them, and for x and y. So let x equal 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, etc. And then make up some values for a and b and see what these equations look like, just to get an idea of what kinds of relationships you would see. And I've got some examples here that you can try at some point. That I recommend just with the power regression, y equals ax to b. You can actually, I think, you can just put this right into your calculator. For example, when a equals 1 and b equals a half, you would be looking at y equals x to the 1/2. And when a equals 1 and b equals 2, you'd be looking at y equals x squared. And x to the 1/2 will turn out to be concave down. X squared will be concave up, or curving up, or we used to call that convex, and so on. And so you can get an idea of what kind of curves you can get depending on what a and b look like. And the calculator has functions that allow you to calculate both power regression and exponential regression. So if you have a list of two lists with data points in them, you know, your x's and your y's, you can just, you know, select from the same place you could select linear regression, you could select power regression or exponential regression. Okay, the next topic I have is, I call this a mathematical digression. This is not material on the AP. It's kind of background material that will give you an idea of kind of where these exponential and power regressions come from. You can think of them as linear regressions using data that's been transformed into logs. So we're instead of using the you know, base 10 log, we're going to use natural logs here. So every time you see ln, that means natural log. So suppose we start with an equation. The natural log of y is equal to a plus bx. So that's an equation, and we can take e to the power of both sides. So we take e to the left-hand side, and e to the natural log just returns y. And then, so y is equal to e to the a plus bx, and then with a little algebra, we can transform that to y equals e to the a times e to the bx, or e to the a times e to the b to the x. Which you can see is an exponential regression, where we, instead of saying y equals a b to the x, we're saying y equals e to the a, which is another constant, times e to the b, which is another constant, to the x. So it's really the same thing. It's just an exponential regression with slightly different terms, and slightly different labels for the terms. Next, if we start with natural log of y is equal to natural log of a plus b times the natural log of x. Suppose we start with that equation, take e to the power of both sides, then that just gives you y equals ax to the b, which is the power regression. So this explains why these two functional forms were popular, because you know, back in the old days before a lot of computing power, it was possible to transform the variables to the log format, so take the ln of y, take the ln of x, and then estimate a linear regression using the log data, either the log of y on x untransformed, which would be the power regression, or the log of y linear regression on the log of x, which would be log of y on regular x would be the exponential regression, log of y on log of x would be the power regression. Also, it's useful to plot the data in log format. So if you have the data in the calculator in lists, you can create a new list that's, let's say, list C is equal to log of list A, and that new list will have your data in log format, and then you could plot that new list against, let's say if that were your y variable, you could plot it against list b if that's your x variable, or you could plot the log of each variable against each other. And if you see that one of those plots looks better than the other in terms of it's more linear, then you know that that's kind of the better regression format to choose. Okay, so that's just a little digression on kind of the relationship between those two forms of nonlinear regression and taking logarithms of your data. The next topic is also a bit of a regression. The topic is multiple regression. Suppose that we have dependent variables such as the grade point average for college freshmen. And we're trying to predict that on the basis of two variables. So we have data on a whole bunch of college freshmen and what their grade point averages were as college freshmen, as well as their high school GPA and their SAT score. So it turns out you can estimate an equation with two x variables. Both the X1 would be the GPA, X2 would be the SAT score, and Y would be the grade point average as a college freshman. So X1 is the high school GPA, X2 is the SAT score. And you could include as many x's as you want. So that's what multiple regression means. And that's actually used very commonly in practice. The simple linear regression, where you only have two variables, is actually not as common, at least in my experience, as the multiple regression. But multiple regression we don't cover in the AP curriculum, so I'll just leave it at that. The next topic is regression inference. So a typical question we have is whether a relationship is significant, and we worry about both practical significance and statistical significance. You should pay attention to both, but for now we're going to focus on the statistical significance and how that gets measured. And we rarely worry about the intercept. Most of the time we're worrying about the slope coefficient, which in turn tells you something about the significance of the correlation between the x and y variables. So we're talking about the statistical significance of the slope, and that's in with just when it's doing simple regression with only one variable. Worrying about the slope is the same thing as worrying about the significance of the correlation. So the new usual null hypothesis is that b equals zero, which means that the usual null hypothesis is that there's zero correlation, and so you're trying to see whether the relationship is significantly different from zero. So we start by introducing something called the standard error of regression, which I'll just call SE. And that's equal to the square root of the sum of squared residuals divided by n minus 2. And n minus 2 corrects for degrees of freedom. I'll talk about that a little more later. But just take it as given for now. The standard error of b, then, I call s sub b, and that's equal to the standard error of the regression divided by sigma x, or the square root of the variance of the x variable. So the standard error of b, the standard error of the coefficient, is affected by the residual in the regression. The bigger the residuals in the regression, the higher the standard error of the coefficient, but it's also scaled by the variance of the x variable. That acts as a kind of scaling factor. In any case, the ratio of b to its standard error, it turns out to have a t distribution, and with n minus 2 degrees of freedom rather than the n minus 1 that we had in t tests, n is still the number of observations. In multiple regression, the degrees of freedom is n minus k, so that standard of re error regression, if we had, sorry, the degrees of freedom is n minus k, where k is the number of explanatory variables, including the intercept. So in this thing, where y equals a plus bx, we have an intercept and a slope, and so we have two in explanatory variables, and so we have. So n minus 2 is our degrees of freedom. But if we threw in another explanatory variable, then we would have n minus 3 degrees of freedom, and the standard error of the regression would be the sum of the squared residuals divided by n minus 3. So that's where that degrees of freedom comes from. Then you don't have to know that because you don't have to worry about multiple regression. It's always going to be n minus 2 degrees of freedom in the problems that you're doing. Okay, so in the real world, when people do statistics, do regressions, they don't typically do them on calculators. They use computer programs, and the computer programs have various formats for printing out the results. And one of the things you have to learn how to do for the AP, for this course, and so on, is how to take a computer printout and pick out from that printout what the results are so that you can then interpret the results. So here's one example, which I pulled from this guy's website, where he relates the independent variable is something called lean body mass, and the dependent variable is a measure of muscle strength. And this is a pretty typical format for a printout. That is, you'd have several columns. The first column says variable. Second says COEF, which stands for coefficient. The next is standard error, state, which might be abbreviated like that, and then you'll see a column labeled T, and finally a column labeled P value. Okay, so what in the world is going on here? What is the actual equation of the line? Well, const in the variable stands for the constant term, which comes out in this case to be negative 13.9. And then LBM is the label that we gave for our independent variable, lean body mass, and that coefficient of 3.016. So the actual equation of the line is in that coefficient column. It's y is equal to negative 13.9 plus 3.016x, where y is muscle strength and x is lean body mass. Okay? So we want to know, is the slope significant? Is b significantly different from 0? Well, if we read across, we can see that the standard error of b is 0.22. That's what that means. So the ratio, the t ratio, is just 3.016 divided by 0.22, which comes out to 13.8. And that t ratio gives a very low p value of 0.000. I guess I didn't give the number of observations here. You'd have to know the number of observations to be able to calculate the p value, but the p value turns out to be very close to 0. So as in all of the statistical tests that we've been doing, anytime the p value is below 0.05, as a rule of thumb, you can say that you have a statistically significant relationship. Okay, other printout information will often be included will be R squared. Remember I said that R squared is kind of the popular measure, and that will be 0.760. Then there's something called adjusted R squared of 0.756, and that adjusts for the degrees of freedom. So that the more variables you put in there, as in a multiple regression, the bigger the adjustment to R squared. So if we had a lot of independent variables, the difference between R squared and adjusted R squared would start to get much bigger. Then you'll see something called regression sum of squares. That's the variance of y hat of the fitted values. Residual sum of squares is the variance of the residual. And then the total is the total variance of y. And I just want you to note the Pythagorean relationship. That is the sum of squares of the regression, that is the fitted values, plus the sum of squares of the residuals add up to the sum of squares of the total. And so we can take the regression sum of squares, the total squared variance of the fitted values, divide it by the total, and it turns out to be 0.760, which is R squared. So that shows you that R squared is in some sense the percent of variation in y that's accounted for by the regression line, by the fitted values of the regression. Okay, so that's it.